Well, happy Father's Day. And so as we get back into our series with the book of James, and some of you are going, are you doing a dad's sermon? Yes. And I'm staying in the book of James. And so we're going to round out today. And this is the part, I told you this when we started this, when you start preaching verse by verse, it's amazing how God times things. And honestly, I couldn't feel like a better verse for today. As we round out James chapter 1, it's such a practical book. And I've just been I hope you've been enjoying the series. I've just been enjoying diving in, because James has been giving us a series of tests that are really great at evaluating all of ourselves, all of our faith, that we can really begin to dig in on our faith. Is it a mature faith? Are we growing in our faith? Do we have a saving faith? Do we actually have a faith that saves us? And James is giving us a whole series of tests and that's the part why I love going through this verse by verse, because you can start pulling some of those tests apart and really take time to evaluate. But look at James chapter 1, verse 27, as we round out James chapter 1 today. Verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. In an impure world, and our world is becoming more and more impure, it feels like every single day, the world we live in is corrupt and it's sinful. And so we're not speaking today about the planet, about a pollution, but really we're talking about sin, and we're talking about things on the inside. And every day we should be pursuing God's goodness, God's purity that he has for our life. And because we have an enemy that is determined, an actual adversary, Satan the devil, who's real, who is on a mission to derail us from our relationship with God. From our relationship with God, as we even worshiped, as we took time in communion, there is a purity that we gain in our walk with Jesus that covers our sin, that we, honestly, we cannot do it in any work of ourselves. It is purely by the work that Jesus did on the cross. And so as we approach this verse today, we're reminded in this passage just the importance of purity and how we need to walk and guard that in our life. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, its end is the way to death. See, James is saying to you and me, he's telling us, here's how you need to know if your faith is real, valuable, and viable. Real faith looks like ones that chase after orphans and widows. Real faith keeps itself unstained from the world that's full of sin and corruption and evil. I like how different translations shares this last part of the verse of 27. Let's look at them real quick. The NIV, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The King James Version, to keep himself unspotted from the world. And then you look at the Message Version, and to guard against corruption from the godless world. See, all of these give a vivid, clear picture that a true person of faith, if you have a saving faith that loves God, and you want to do all that he has and receive all that he has for you, then you're going to have to guard yourself from being spotted, corrupted, tainted from this world around us. And that's the challenge that brings us to today. And it's why it's a critical message on Father's Day. So even though this is a message that needs to be spoken to all of us on Father's Day, to all the dads, to all the men in the room, the greatest thing you could pass along to your children is eternal matters. The greatest thing that you could pass on to your children is the things of God. And this is our challenge. So on Father's Day, and every Father's Day, it is without fail, even took time this morning as I was doing my personal prayer time with the Lord. I just can't help but reflect on a Father's Day. Let me show you a picture, because I have two great dads in my life. My dad, who's on the right side as you're looking at it, on the left side. My dad, I'm grateful. Even though he passed away 31 years ago was the last time I was able to tell him personally, Happy Father's Day. And so on a Father's Day, there's always a solemnness for me. Not mournful. There's just a little bit of grief because you just can't do it. And I'm grateful for the things that my dad has passed on to me. So much of it is parts that drive Stacy nuts. My dad's sense of humor, he's passed on. My dad would, at work, constantly would have a new joke. For any of the customers that would come into the store where he worked, my dad would constantly, and unfortunately, some of them were off color too. But that's my dad. But I'm grateful for the last 6 years of his life when he rededicated himself to the Lord, and so many of the hurts that had embittered him, he started to deal with those. And I'm just grateful for a spiritual legacy that I have from my dad and from Stacy's dad, Ray. Incredibly grateful. Both of these men did not let their life define them. They did not let their failings. Because immediately as we start talking about purity, without fail, not only the men in the room, but there's a part, especially sometimes the men. Let me go a little deeper on that. Sometimes men, we maybe want to puff out our chest a little bit, just more of, I'm okay. But we know there's just parts. We know our own weaknesses and failings. And it's really easy to let those define what our relationship is all about. Not only with our Lord, but also with others. And we could look at our life through failings rather than forward what God wants to do, the new work in our life that he wants to create in and through us. And so on Father's Day, this message on purity is really important. Because, Dad, the greatest things you can pass on is not money. It is not an inheritance. It's not memories of a great vacation. See, none of these are bad. None of those things are bad to care for your family in a financial way. Nothing bad. But I will tell you this, the greatest thing that you would want to make sure that your kids know is not just a knowledge of God, but a relationship with him. That they can look to your life and they see something that's real. They see a faith that's active. And that's what James is wanting us to capture today, is don't go the way of living a facade of a life as a believer. Don't go the way of the religious that does it through pomp and that does it like a parade. It's all for show, but on the inside it's corrupt. God's challenging us, no, let's be real. That even if you take off the first layer of veneer, actually what you find is the real thing underneath. It's just not a cover, but they see the genuine wood, the genuine article of faith underneath. That's what James is wanting to draw us to today. And it's an important part for fathers if you will want to stay pure. And that's where my message for you and sharing with you today is staying pure. How do we stay pure? How do we walk through this? And there's going to be three things I want to share with you this morning. First is the picture of purity so we can understand what it is. Second, I want you to be able to see the call for purity, because what we do with once we have it is critical. But third, I want to nail this subject down with how important it is, the need for purity. Why do we really need it? So first off, the picture of purity. See, a lot of people have strange ideas of what purity really is. And especially when you start using the word holiness, some people think of holiness as being an ultra-churchy, religious kind of action. You have to speak with the Christianese. Well, how art thou? There's a superficialness of how you talk to one another. You got to carry a super huge big Bible, you know, like the kind that people put out on their coffee tables. That are super thick. That's what you got to carry around. Somehow you've got to do things to show people, to be out there that you really are pure. And James is trying to challenge us, don't go there. Don't go with the fake religious actions, but let your actions be a reflection from the real faith, the real inside work. And because here's the deal. People can be good. Any person, even non-followers of Jesus, can be good people. We know them. We know a lot of people in our community that do a lot of good deeds. There's a lot of good lost people right here in Marinette and Menominee that, you know what? They do good things all the time. I mean, they look after their neighbors. They take care of people. There's business owners that will take up needs when they hear about it and take collections at their business place. They'll lead efforts. They'll join some of these community groups, all with the desire to be good. And they're really good people. But here's the part that we got to get back to and understand. You can do all the good actions, but you could still be impure on the inside. And that impurity is going to always derail us from a relationship with God. Purity is not this outward facade. And Jesus spoke about it in Matthew chapter 23. Look at it in verse 25. And he says this, "What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees?" Hypocrites. Little strong word. "For you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, you first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity." Wow. "Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness." See, when we get to the heart of the matter, purity is not an outward issue. Purity is an inward issue. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of what's happening on the inside, because what happens on the inside will come on to the outside. It's a matter of the internal. See, the mind, the heart, the soul, what's going on the inside will come on to the outside. See, our life is a record of what you're hungry for. Your actions are an example, a demonstration of what's happening on the inside. And we can't slap a list of things onto this. We all do things that, well, maybe this will help me. Maybe this will help me to do better. Purity is a matter of the heart, and it's not perfection, but it's a direction. It's not rules and regulations, but it's a relationship with God. God's purity, that when we have a relationship with Him, it's what Jesus did on the cross, that purity at work in our life as we offer our sin up to Him. See, this is our challenge to us today, is that purity is on the inside. And here's the amazing part about Jesus. Because many points when people start talking about purity and holiness, they'll talk about separating themselves from the world, which, yes, we do, but you can't separate yourself completely from it. It'll never happen. And Jesus did not model that himself. He never isolated himself, but rather he insulated himself. He didn't isolate, but he insulated himself with a purity that God gave him, that as God made flesh, beholding the glory of God with grace and truth, so that the world could see that he was fully man. But as they were around Jesus, they could experience that he was fully God. And Jesus pretty much prayed for this, that isolation is not purity and holiness. And Jesus prayed about it in John chapter 17. Look at it with me. Here's what he prayed, starting off in verse 14. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." See, Jesus is saying that God's will is that we would be in the world. We would be kept safe, that we would have a life of purity in the world but not be of it. They don't belong to the world. Jesus was letting us know in the same way that he was not part of the world, neither would we. And that brings us back as we look at James 1:27, because he gives us this beautiful picture of being in the world and not out of it. when we look at verse 27 and we look at that last half, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. See, James says religion that is pure, undefiled before the Lord is this, is that we visit the widows and orphans in their affliction and keep ourselves unstained from the world. See, it's this, it's that relationship going into the world to help the afflicted, that from that relationship with God, we go and reach out to the orphans. We go to the downtrodden. We help those in our community. When we hold up and guard purity that he's given us, purity is not isolation. It's not perfection. But it will insulate us to help us to stay pure. There's a second thing on the subject of purity I want you to notice, and that's the second thing is the call for purity. What do we do once we have it? So we invite Jesus to be our leader and savior in our life. He begins to pure and work on us. The Holy Spirit begins to reveal areas of our life that we've got to give to him. So as we are obedient and listening to that voice, and we continue to allow God's work in our life, what do we do once we have it? Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We're very familiar with verse 1, which talks about offering our bodies as living sacrifices unto him. But look at verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, when we've asked the Lord into our life, we become transformed. Where we are begins to change because God begins to give us his purity. Purity is something that God gives us. It's a gift that he gives. And first of all, we need to understand that this is something we can't attain on our own. Our best efforts on our best day, we will never make it. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all messed it. We've all will miss it. We're all falling short day after day, and we're outside of the grace of God. We're falling short. But what Jesus did on the cross is we keep our faith in him by what Jesus did, and we let him be our savior, let his righteousness transform our life. It's amazing what will transpire. See, it's a gift of faith that we can call unto him. We can say, Lord, I want to know you, God. I want to know you more. Keep revealing yourself to me. I know that you've died in my place. It's humbling. It's a part that we celebrated in communion earlier today. Is remembering the sacrifice, remembering the substitute of what Jesus did for us. And all of this, his work, the purity that he gives inside of our life, it all comes from God, and it comes from a relationship with him. When we invite him in to be our Lord and Savior, he begins to make us spotless, unblemished, unspotted. Without fail, many of you, and thanks for wearing your dad shirts, but there's often points when we go shopping for different shirts, maybe different ties. You saw the father's ties out there. Thanks, Chris, for the big donation. Many of those are Chris's ties. And boy, Chris, we didn't use them all, by the way. One of the amazing parts, when we start to search for certain clothing, maybe we want something to be 100%, right? 100% cotton, got to be that. Or 100% silk, if you're looking for that right tie. And one of those parts, there's something about having 100% that just makes you get confidence in it. We do the same with water. We want something 100% pure. We don't want our water coming from a mud hole, right? And somehow, when we look at the label and we can see that it's been purified, filtered, that's good. And it's the same thing what Jesus, by what he did on the cross, did for us, is it's that 100%. Because we look for that tag, we look for that label, and that's what God did for every single one of us. And what James is saying is that this true test of a saving faith, a faith that's viable, a faith that's alive, a faith that is excited about knowing God. Do you have a saving faith today? Or are you being polluted by the world? Don't let it be corrupted. Don't let your life be dictated by what the world says is popular, but what God views as popular. You want to stay unstained and guard that gift, that treasure that Jesus has given. So here's a question that I want to ask ourselves this morning. Are you guarding the purity that Jesus gave you? Have you taken time? I pray that you did a little bit of that in communion this morning. There's always parts when we take communion. Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, reveal it. Speak to me before I take this, because that gift of what communion symbolizes is not trivial. And I don't want to take it in an unworthy manner. But God, by what you've done for me, are you guarding that purity that he's placed into your heart and life? And it's so easy to let the monotony of life dull our edge when we ask ourselves this. It's so easy to let our guard down just because Monday's the next day, Tuesday, Wednesday. Some parts it just could be the pressures of life. But are you protecting and treasuring what God has given you? Proverbs 4:23 gives us this great advice. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Are you watching the wellspring of life in your heart? Are you taking the thoughts captive? Are you making them obedient to Jesus? Are you guarding your heart, guarding the purity that Jesus gave you? A true believer, a true person of faith, will guard their heart. Are you watching what you're viewing? Are you watching what you're reading? Are you watching stuff you scroll? Are you watching things around you to guard your heart? Third and finally, a third aspect of purity is this, the important, and it talks about the importance of purity. So why is purity such a big deal? Well, let me give you several reasons. First of all, it's a relationship. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Look, if you are impure, you're not going to have a relationship with God. If you have an impure heart, you're not. If you're going to have a heart that is not chasing after God and wanting to have a relationship with him, you're going to end up being corrupted by this world. And see, if you're not in pursuit of a relationship with Jesus, then hear this, the impure will not see God. I want you to note Galatians 5:19, because when we start listing out sins, impurity is not the one that typically we grab onto. Look at that. I mean, if I had added a couple more of the verses that come later, verses 20 and 21, you see this laundry list of sinful nature, and somehow we'll grab onto the sexual immorality. Guard there. Lustful pleasures, yep. But what about impurity? It's just as dangerous. It's just as toxic. We've got to guard our heart. And this is the importance, is that the importance of this, for no other reason, the super important reason, this is the difference between heaven and hell. This is a difference between life and death. Purity is that big of a deal. Because the enemy wants to lie to you and tell you that, hey, you can find your answer in a bottle. You can find your answer in a pill. You can find your answer in some other relationship than with your spouse. The enemy would love to try to say, oh, this is an easy way to escape. It's okay. Escape your pleasures this way rather than bringing them to the Lord. See, the enemy is on a prowl to derail us and derail our relationship with him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. A second important reason or motivation for purity is this, is that only the pure will be used by God. How often do we all pray this? That we say, God, I want to be a blessing to others. God, I want to be used by you. I want to be your hands extended. God, I want to make a difference in my boss's life. I want to make a difference in my employee's life. Lord, may I be an encourager to help those who build my home. Can I be an encourager to my family? Can I be an encourager and a positive difference in my spouse and my kids? God, use me to be an incredible friend on my school campus. How often do we pray? Often. God, use me. God, use me in my community. So here's the truth, is that we need to guard that purity that Jesus gives, because when we do, purity will enable us to be used by God. 2 Timothy, Paul gives some great advice here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 19. But God's truth stands like a foundation stone with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. See, God's truth stands like a foundation stone with this inscription. Here's the great part. Think of that. A stone with an inscription, you can't just go and try to rub that off. It's etched in stone. See, there's a character part of this that is so good, is that God's truth will not get weathered away. It stands the test of any trial that you're facing. And that, in other words, this first phrase is saying it down, that the Lord knows all of those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn from evil. And here's the encouraging part, is the Lord knows those who are his. He knows you. So in the pressure that you're facing in life, here's the great part. When we understand purity, God will use us to make a difference in others as we are pure before him. But Timothy didn't stop there. Look at verses 20 through 22. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones for everyday use. And here's the important part. Look at verse 21. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Verse 22, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. So this is why we have Calvary Church, is that we can have a companionship for those who call upon the Lord with pure hearts, as we continue to spur each other to be utensils that are clean and holy, that God will use. But look at that verse 21 again. If you keep yourself pure, you'll be special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use for every good work. See, God wants to use you in an incredible way. And the more we become pure, the more he will use us to make a difference in our neighborhood, to make a difference in our community, and our purity is going to stand out. It won't be a standout like a zit on a forehead. It won't stand out in an obscure way, but in an attractive way. The more and more our world becomes impure, the more and more the church is set up for an opportunity that when we display Christ's righteousness at work in our life and through our life, again, not perfection, but direction, as we allow God to continue to do his work in our life, we will make a difference in the workplace, in the marketplace. We will see God do incredible things in and through us. We will be tools in his hand that he can pick up and use. So purity enables us to have a relationship with God. It allows us to be used by God. And thirdly, it's a reason why purity is important, is that there's a power in purity. Holiness is one of the most powerful witnessing tools that's there. It just is. It's one of the most powerful parts, because people will look at our life and they'll just see something different, and they just become attracted to it, because people are trying to figure out what the difference is. Because people will say, well, I'm doing some of the things that they do, so why don't I see the same thing occur in the same way? And they're trying to do the math. They're trying to figure it out from the outside, not realizing the transformation that needs to take place on the inside. So parents, especially the fathers today, our kids need to see Jesus in and through us. Again, this isn't about perfection. It's about direction. It's about us living lives authentically, growing and maturing in our relationship with God. Our faith will be attractive and will attract our kids. Even when our kids will go and do their own path, when we begin to continue to demonstrate the real, genuine faith, it will speak to our kids. So this morning, I want to bring it in for a landing. And so if for some of you here today, in fact, worship team, come back if you don't mind. As you look at your life, there's some in here that you're just immediately knowing that there's some impurity in your life, there's sin, there's corruption, and you're feeling convicted because you know that there's some things that are wrong. And you need to know this, is it can be made right. Many of you here right now may feel that you want to make it right, and here's the great news, you can. See, this morning, the great news is that God loves you. And if you will give him your impurity, if you will say, Lord, here's my mess, here's my trouble, here is all my problems, I surrender it to you. Forgive me. Cleanse me. The great news is, you know what God will do? When we approach him with an open heart and we ask him to forgive, he will forgive. He will clean. So my challenge to you today is, are you pursuing purity in your life today? Are you pursuing purity in your relationship with God? See, if you profess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you repent, turning away your life from impurity, he will make everything new. And God could change your life today. If you're watching online, God could change your life in a moment when you give everything to him. Father, right now, I just pray that God, let your spirit be at work in every heart. Be at work in the heart of every person, every believer in this place. Lord, remind us how important it is. And Lord, we just invite you to let Jesus come alive in our lives today, and that we would live a life for you, that we'd have a healthy desire to stay clean, to remain pure, to guard our lives from the corruption of this world. God, we want to live healthy, clean, pure lives that brings honor to you, to be a life that can be used by you. God, help us with our impurity today. Forgive us for that impurity that has separated us from you. Help us to see the need that we have for you. God, let your love be real in this moment, that we can sense you right here, right now, in a powerful way, drawing us close to you. With every head bowed, if you're here today and you do not know, you're feeling that, some of it might be the sting of conviction. Some of it is that distance of having a relationship with Jesus. But you need to know that Jesus can come into your life right now and radically change your life. And he wants to. So if you're here today and you've allowed other things to become number one in your life, other than having Jesus lead and be your Savior, you're trusting in other things to be your Savior, your way of to heaven. If you're trusting in other things, allowing other things to lead you than Jesus, and you need to make it right today, all you have to do is place your faith in Jesus today. And it starts with the intention of our heart, which we can speak to God in very much like a prayer. But if you're here today and you know you need to make that shift in your life, if you're here today, with every head bowed, I ask this question. If you're here today and you need to make that decision, or maybe a rededication to allow Jesus to be the leader and Savior of your life, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to see you. You can lift up your head and look my direction if that's you. Is there any? I want every person to say this prayer with me this morning. Dear Jesus, thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for making a way to know me. Forgive me for my sin. Doing things that displease you. Come into my life. Be my leader and my Savior. Reign in my life. Every decision and action, I give it all to you. Do a new work in my life. Make me clean.